We thank you for being so good and so gracious to us, God, for not only the young boys and girls that's here, God, but for the adults that's here tonight. I pray, God, you take the word of God and speak to our hearts about what you have here for us. Lord, I love you and I need you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Take your Bibles tonight, if you will, and turn with me in God's word to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to just read one verse here tonight to give us a thought, and then we go to another portion of Scripture tonight to see what else God has for us. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's read this one verse together. We'll give you time to get there. We think about the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest New Testament Christians there is. You can read about his life and the charges he gave to Timothy to preach the word, and how himself he lived such a Christian life that he wasn't a castaway. But look here, if you would, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look together, if you would, verse 7. Here the Apostle Paul wrote, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. My friend, that would be a good statement for all of us to be able to say at the end of our lives. As I'm laying in a casket and my loved ones come to grieve over my body, I hope they can say that Daddy's fought a good fight, he finished the course, he's kept the faith. I've known many of preachers down the past that has fought a good fight, that has finished their course. And you know, all of us has got a course to run. If you're running a marathon or you're running a race at all, you've got a certain length or a certain distance you're supposed to run. And once you run that certain length or that certain distance, then your course is finished. You've ran your course. You've finished your course. Here Paul says, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I believe Paul said, I never wavered from the truth. My friend, we've got many people that's wavering from the truth, but I believe Paul said, I've never wavered from the truth. I stand fast, I stood fast in the liberty of God's word, and I finished my course, and I fought a good fight. And I want to draw our attention to that one little phrase tonight in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. My friend, what does it take to fight a good fight? Here, Paul said, hey, the fight I've been in is a good fight to be in. And I believe the Christian fight is a good fight to be a part of. And I was thinking about today, the greatest thing in my life is that I know I'm saved. That I've been saved, been redeemed, been set free from my sins, been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. But notice what Paul says here in verse 7. In verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. What is it going to take for us to fight a good fight? And by the way, folks, if you haven't realized it yet, we're in a fight. We're in a fight. We're involved in a fight. We're right slap in the middle of a fight against the devil. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We won't turn nowhere else tonight, but Ephesians chapter 6. Remember, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I don't only believe he said the fight I was in was a good fight to be in, but I believe Paul could have said, I fought to my uttermost to win. Every day, Paul woke up and buffeted his body and lived for the Lord Jesus Christ and done exactly what God wanted him to do. It says here, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. And therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Here, you remember Paul said, I fought a good fight. And my friend, it's up to us to fight a good fight for Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that all of us is in a fight. We're all fighting against something tonight, my friend. We're not fighting against each other. We're fighting against the devil. We'll see that here in just a few minutes. But everyone that's saved by God's grace, whether it's someone like Hunter, Whether it's someone like Bianca, or maybe it's someone like me, or Brother Jeff, or Brother Steve, or Brother Mac, or whoever you might be tonight, any one of us that are saved by God's amazing grace, the day we got saved is the very day we have enlisted in the army of God, and the Bible said we should be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We should endure hardship. We should endure all kind of things that comes in our lives, but I want you to know, if you're saved tonight, you've been enlisted in the army of God to fight a good fight. So how are we going to fight a good fight? My friend, the first thing you need to know is the war we're in. What are we fighting against, my friend? We're not fighting against each other. Your battle, my battle's not against each other. Tonight, my fight's not against my wife. Her fight's not against me. My fight's not against you. Your fight's not against me. Our fight is not against another church. Our fight tonight is against the devil. Notice what it says here, if you would. And the Bible says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. My friend, tonight our fight is against the devil. And no doubt the devil may use people in our lives. No doubt the devil may use circumstances or different things in our lives to get us off track. But I want you to notice, if somebody tries to harm you, and if somebody's trying to hurt you, it's not really them that's trying to hurt you. It's not really them that's trying to harm you. It's the devil that's using them to try to get to you. Maybe not, you've got a boss man. We've all heard a story about Preacher Larry and a dispatcher that he had, how he chewed on the cigar and bounced the ball. Y'all remember that story? And he would chew on the cigar and bounce the ball, and he would get Preacher Larry on the radio, and he would curse him and tell him to hurry up and move faster and do better. My friend, it wasn't this dispatcher that was Preacher Larry's problem. It was the devil. But devil will use any kind of means to try to get to you. Clarence Hickson says that the devil will walk by the cage door, the door of your cage 1,000 times just to find it open one time. He wants to find your door just cracked one time. And the devil's not one that would kick the door in and bust it wide open. The devil's the type of serpent where he wants to just put his foot in so you can't shut the door. And it eases his way in, my friend, to get involved in your life and get you sidetracked from the battle, the war we're in. The Bible says here that the devil, in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is a name that's used to be an accuser. The devil's an accuser of the brothers. Now today, the devil accuses us before God. Brother Jeff, you know what the devil does? Every day of your life, the devil goes to God and says, God, Brother Jeff is not worthy of your grace. He's not worthy of your blessings. He's not worthy of your power. He's not worthy to be called to preach. Every day, the devil goes before God and accuses us night and day. Every day he does that. He does that because he's the devil. And you know what other name he's given in the Bible? He's given many names, but one other name is Satan. Satan is a name that's given our adversary. He's against us. Not only is he going to God and saying, hey, God, he's not worthy of your blessings. But he comes in our lives as our adversary, and he tries to get us off path and off course and get back into the world. Here, notice what it says here again in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is that tonight? The wiles of the devil. These wiles of the devil is his trickeries. Boy, the devil's a trickery man. The devil's a trickery person. The devil will use any means he can to get you off track, off course. I'm not going to tell you the person that told me this, but when I first got saved, somebody actually told me this because I come up with an ingenious plan. And when I told this person my plan, they said, well, there's only one problem with that. You can't substitute one good thing for another good thing. My plan was to load up all the young boys and girls we had in our church at that time and put them on that white bus and the red bus we had at that time and take them to a certain lady's house that hasn't been coming to church, that was faithful to church. She wasn't coming to church, and we wanted her back in church. So I said, hey, she worked on a bus route. She worked in children's church. And what we can do, and we can get all the young boys and girls during her Sunday school hour, we can load them up on the church van, and we can take them to her house during her Sunday school hour and maybe plead and beg and cry, and maybe she'll come back to church. And a person told me, well, that's a good idea, but you can't substitute one good thing for another good thing. He said they need to be in Sunday school class. My friend, you know, the devil's a trickery person. The devil has all these wiles, all these tricks that he tries to do every day. Boy, the devil, my friend, the Bible says he was that serpent in the garden of evil, in the garden of Eden. He was more subtle than any of the beasts of that was ever formed. He was a trickery person, a trickery devil, my friend. The Bible says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many people you know that's fallen for a trick of the devil? How many people do you know tonight that's fallen for the devil's tricks? How many young boys and girls do we know tonight that started off good? They did run well, but the devil hindered them. The devil gave them a trick. The devil gave them something else to do in life instead of serving God. I wonder how many professional baseball players and basketball players and football players and how many professional athletes there is, my friend, that used to go to Sunday school class, that used to go to church, but somehow their career has elevated, has risen, where, my friend, they have no care about coming to church. You know the devil will give you a good career, give you a good job to keep you out of church. You know, the devil use any kind of tricks he can to keep you out of God's work, out of God's will. But here the Bible says that we need to put on the whole armor of God that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against each other. Our boys, Justin and Brandon, they like to wrestle at the house. We call it wrestling. I know it's wrestling, but we like to say wrestling. They wrestle at the house. They want to do body slams and backbreakers and sleepers and figure fours and all those things. And somehow they coach men to get involved with them, and we wrestle. But the Bible says in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In this Christian fight we're in, we're not in it to fight against each other. And sometimes you might believe I'm your enemy. And sometimes I believe you're my enemy. But we're not enemies. We're on the same team. But notice what we're fighting against tonight. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These principalities is chief rulers. You know the devil, when he was cast out of heaven, he took one third of God's angels with him. And I don't know how many angels there is, but the Bible says there's thousands and thousands and ten thousands of the angels of God is still left. So no doubt the devil has many angels that he took with him when he left heaven. And now we consider them demons. We consider them the servants of the devil. And here the Bible says these principalities are the chief rulers. My friend, if we can look into the spiritual world tonight, we'll see the demons of Satan and the angels of God fighting against each other, my friend. And God's angels is here to protect us. I believe we so-called call it a guardian angel. But the Bible says, the Word of God says that God has sent angels, my friend, and they behold our faces. They're here to protect us and to keep us safe from the devil's demons. I think about Daniel chapter 10. You remember he prayed, and I believe Brother Jeff, it's 21 days. The devil's demons hindered David's prayer for 21 days. These principalities, these demons of the devil, my friend, are chief rulers here in this world. Is it natural for a woman to take her newborn baby and throw it in a garbage bag and tie it up and throw it in a dumpster? That's not natural. So why would she do something like that? Because of these principalities. Because of these chief rulers that the devil has. These so-called angels or demons that he has, my friend, they've got some power. Notice what else it says here, the next word. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. My friend, do you realize the devil, he has power tonight? Now, he don't have all power like God has, but he has some power. Hey, the devil can be in any place he wants to be at one particular time, but he can't be everywhere all at the same time. And the devil, you know, tonight, the devil can't read your thoughts, but he can hear your words. And many times when we pray, we don't need to pray out loud. You say, why is that? Because the devil can hear your prayers. I promise you, if you pray on Sunday, you pray out loud, God, I'm going to go visiting on Tuesday night, the devil can hear that prayer and he'll do all he can to hinder you on Tuesday so you won't be at church for visitation. Boy, it's a scary thing if you can look at the spiritual world. There's principality. There's chief rulers, my friend, that's serving the devil. There's power. The devil has some power, but he don't have all power. Hey, thanks be to God that God has all power. Hey, the devil, he can be anywhere that he wants to be, but hey, God can be everywhere all at the same time. The devil has some knowledge, but God has all knowledge. The devil knows what you've done in your past and what you're doing right now, but he does not know what's going to take place in your future. Only God does. God sees it, my friend, as though it was laid out in some flip book where he could just flip the pages and see your past, present, and future. Here, the devil has some power. Look at this, if you would, in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, what is that? The principalities, we know what that is. It's the chief demons that the devil has. He has some that has more powers than others. But not only that, but the devil and all of his demons has powers. But the Bible says here that we wrestle against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's, my friend, false religion. That's cults. That's those who's not true to God's word. The other day, I was coming to church on Sunday morning. You know what I saw? Out there beside the tire barn, if you go across the road, they got a nice place that's laid out, and they got a foundation that's being built, and they got a lot of people working out there, and I wonder, what in the world is going on? We saw them out there Sunday on the Lord's Day working, digging holes, digging trenches, pouring foundations, putting up reed bar. I asked my wife, what in the world is going on? Why would they people be working on Sunday on the Lord's Day? And she said, honey, that's going to be the new Jehovah's Witness building. You know what that is? That's a cult. That's false religion. That's heresy. That's animal doctrine, my friend. That's people that's going to lead other people astray. And they say you got to work for it. You got to earn it. You got to merit God's grace to even be saved. And my friend, they're trying to tell you, you've got to work, my friend, in order to be pleasing to God. You know what it is? It's the rulers of darkness of this world. It's this false religion, these cults. My friend, what is the Catholic Church? You say, everything come from the Catholic Church. Hey, beloved, we didn't come from a Catholic Church. We've got our descendant from Jesus Christ, an unbroken chain from Jesus Christ. These Catholic churches is just a cult. These other religions is just a cult. And my friend, pretty soon, if we don't stick with the stuff and stick with the Bible, pretty soon an independent Baptist church can still be a cult. The only thing that we have that's true is God's word. It's not your opinion or my opinion. It's God's word is the foundation for life. It's our fixed point of reference. It's the authority for our faith and practice. But notice what the word of God says here, if you would, in verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Not only do we wrestle against the rules of the darkness of this world, but against spiritual wickedness. And I believe that's Satan's demons themselves. These spiritual wickedness. This wickedness that's in high places. You think about our government tonight. You think about how the devil has got into the government, how the devil is getting into churches, these men and women that's in leadership, how the devil has got into their lives. My friend, you want to know what we're fighting tonight? We're not fighting Obama. We're not fighting the senator. We're not fighting another preacher, another pastor. We're not fighting each other. We're fighting the devil tonight. And your war, your battle should be against him. And all we do every day of our lives should be ready to get up and put on our spiritual boxing gloves and be ready to box the devil. I think about Billy Sunday. He said, Brother Jeff, as long as I got fists, I'm going to punch the devil. As long as I got feet, I'm going to kick the devil. As long as I got teeth, I'm going to bite the devil. He said, when I'm crippled and I'm maimed and I'm toothless, he said, bless God, I'll try to gum the devil to death. We just need to stick with it. Be involved and get active and do what God wants us to do, because we're not fighting against each other. These three boys tonight, boy, they probably could jump on me and whoop me. You know, they have to catch me first. You know, but my fight's not against them, and their fight's not against me. Our fight is against the devil and his demons. My friend, the war we're in, let's look at the weapons we have. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. I like that. You know what God says here? I hate to stop in the middle of a verse, but you know what God says? He says, hey, having done all to stand, he says, hey, just stand. He said, when you can't do nothing else, you can stand. Hey, I remember when I was a little boy, I played rec football, and I was pretty good as a center. I was pretty good at snapping the ball and just killing the person in front of me. You know what? Sometimes the coach wouldn't let me play. But I'd get angry, I'd get upset. I believe I was telling Brandon, when I was a little boy, I mean 8, 9 years old, hey, we would tackle somebody, and I just want to get them fired up mad. And many times we'd tackle them, and I would take my cleat and step on their hands and twist my foot when I was getting up. You say, why do you do that? You get some mad, and they start yelling and screaming and punching on me, and the referee would throw them out of the football game. But my coach saw that. He said, Scott Bash, you come and sit it out. You ain't going to play no more. You know, instead of sitting on the sidelines like some of us do, we don't have to just sit. We can always stand. You might not be playing. You might not be first stream. You might not be the main player. But the Bible says, hey, having done all to stand, he says, hey, just stand. My friend, it don't take much to stand. But all of us can stand. Hey, all of us can't sing. All of us can't preach. All of us can't teach. All of us can't do what everybody else can, but all of us can stand for God and God's word. All of us can stand and say, hey, right is right and wrong is wrong, and by the grace of God, I'm going to stand for what's right. My friend, we might not could do a whole lot. My sister, we can stand. We can stand. And here the Bible says, having done all to stand. Notice what it says. In verse 14, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Not only the war we in, but the weapons we have a girdle of truth. And my friend, I'm trying to be just as discreet as I can about this. You know what a girdle is? A girdle for a man is not something that keeps his stomach in, it's something that keeps his pants up. A girdle is something that a man will wrap around his waist, my friend, to give him stability, to give him strength, to be able to hold up his armor. But his girdle of truth is not the armor that we think about. His girdle of truth was a belt that had a piece of metal on the front that hung down. And that girdle with the armor attached to it was supposed to protect the reproductive organ of a man. And here the Bible says that we're supposed to gird ourselves with truth. My friend, if you're a Christian tonight, you're supposed to reproduce another Christian. If you're saved tonight, spiritually speaking, you're supposed to go and get somebody else saved. So the Bible says, hey, I want you to gird yourself with truth. I want you to take the life-giving instrument that God has given you, and I want you to apply truth to it and go out and win others for Jesus Christ. This girdle of truth is part of our warfare. It's part of our weapon. Look at the next one, the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says here in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know what this breastplate covers? Your heart. The Bible says from out of the heart comes the issues of life. My friend, you know what? We need to protect our hearts. We need to protect our hearts. Have your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. And notice the next thing, if you will. In verse 15, the Bible says, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Here the Bible says, put on the girdle of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Hey, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. He says, hey, I want you to protect your heart. And I want you to put your feet ready, to be ready to go, to give the gospel out. Notice this one word. The Bible says here, if you would, in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I wonder tonight how many of us is prepared. Tonight, if I would call on you, how many of us would be prepared tonight to take God's word and show somebody else how to be saved? Tonight, if I would say, anybody in this church, but if I say, Reagan, could you take God's word tonight and show somebody else how to be saved? Sister Abby, could you take God's word? Sister Barbara, could you take God's word and show somebody? Hey, Brother John, could you take God's word and show somebody how to be saved tonight? The Bible says, hey, we are in a war, and we need to realize the weapons of our warfare, and we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The only thing that's going to change people's lives, the only thing that changed your life, is the word of God. Are we prepared tonight to take God's word out and help other people? Tonight, can I ask you, do you know how to take your Bible and lead somebody else to the Lord? You say, preacher, all you have to do is go down Romans Road. You can quote a few Bible verses to them. But if you don't have it in your heart, it's not going to do them one bit of good. My friend, a lot of times, I don't use the Romans Road. I use verses that God's put in my heart for that time. But my friend, are we prepared? I was in somebody's house, and I remember having my new Soul Winners New Testament with me, and I had it in my jacket, and I was asking a person about being saved. He said, no, can he asked me, Brother Jeff, he said, can you show me how to be saved? I said, I sure can. He said, well, here, take my Bible and show me. I want to say, well, your Bible's not marked. I don't have your verses highlighted like I've got my verses. I've got my verses highlighted, and I know to go to Romans 3:10 and 3:23 and 5:12 and 6:23 and Romans 5:8. And I know to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. I know all them verses, but yours not highlighted. It was a difficult time to take his Bible and show him how to be saved. I wanted to prepare myself, get ready. And all of us need to prepare ourselves. Notice the next thing the Bible says. In verse 16, the Bible says, above all, take the shield of faith. Ain't that something? Here God says, hey, your weapons is the girdle of truth. Your weapons is the breastplate of righteousness. Your weapons is the gospel. The gospel, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But he says, hey, above all those things, take the shield of faith. The shield of faith. You know what a shield does? A shield protects you. You know Roman soldiers, you know what they've done with their shield? Their shield was big enough. Brother Jeff, you're about my size. Stand up if you will. Their Roman soldiers, they would line up in a row. Maybe 20 in front and 20 beside behind them and 20 behind them and 20 behind them. And you had two Roman soldiers beside each other. And he have a shield and I have a shield. And the Roman soldier's shield was big enough to protect my body. It would cover my body. His shield was big enough to cover his body. But you know what the Roman soldiers would do? They didn't per se cover their own bodies. But they got close enough together to put a shield up. So to make one great wall of iron, he put his shield up. I put my shield up. The next one put their shield up. The next one put their shield up. And the Bible says, above all these things, take the shield of faith. He says, hey, protect yourself, but by all means, hey, protect your brother and sister in Christ. Because maybe Brother Jeff can hold his shield up just a little bit higher. Or maybe just a little bit longer than I can. And his shield and my shield works together to protect each other. The Bible says, above all, take the shield of faith. Notice here, if you would, the word of God. what it says for us tonight. In verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. I want you to know something tonight. The shield of faith, it will not stop the fiery darts of the devil, but it will quench the fiery darts of the devil. As long as you live, as long as you serve God, as long as you live in the Christian life, the devil is going to always throw his darts at you. There's never going to be a time when the devil will stop throwing his darts. He's always 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 trying to trick you. He's always trying to accuse you. He's always trying to get you to be a castaway, to get you on the outside of the firing line. He's always throwing his darts. But hey, God says, hey, you take the shield of faith and you get behind the shield of faith and it'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. He'll still throw them, but they won't be able to hurt you. That shield of faith, faith will quench, extinguish, put out all the fiery darts of the devil. Look here if you would. And the Bible says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. That speaks about our mind. We need to have the mind of Christ. If you're going to fight, you've got to have the mind of Christ. If me and Brother Jeff are going to fight together, he can't say, well, hey, if we're supposed to stay together and we're partners, he can't say, I'm going to go to the right and you go to the left, because once you separate it, hey, my friend, you're weaker than when you're together. And here the Bible says, have the helmet of salvation. In other words, have the mind of Christ and get in the war with God and fight the battles Jesus is fighting. And hey, be on the victorious side. My friend, here the Bible says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want you to notice he's mentioned here five things. The girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. All those weapons of warfare is for defense. It's to protect you. It's to protect you. The only offensive weapon God's given us is the Word of God. Boy, ain't that amazing? God said, hey, don't fight this warfare with your opinions. Don't fight this war with your ideas. Don't fight this war with your strength, with your ability, with your courage, with your boldness, with your valor. He said, hey, the only weapon I'm going to give you to fight with as an offensive weapon is the Word of God. Ain't that something? If we got problems in the church, it's not my preaching that's going to straighten it out. It's the Word of God. If me and my wife, if we got problems in our house, it's not that boat paddle I got that I cut the handle off and drill holes in it. It's not that boat paddle I got as a whipping stick that's going to straighten her out. It's the Word of God. If we got problems with my children, I can whip them until they're about half dead. But you know what? Listen to me. I can whip my children every day. But pretty soon they're going to grow up and move out and be independent of mom and daddy. And the only thing that's going to control their lives then is the Word of God. God says, hey, I'm going to give you a girdle of truth to protect. I'm going to give you a breastplate of righteousness to protect. I'm going to give you a feet that's shod with the preparation of the gospel so you can run. He said, hey, I'm going to give you a helmet of salvation so you can protect your mind. But I'm going to also give you the Word of God. And I want you to use that Word of God because it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The weapons of our war. There's many defenses, but only one offense. He said, use this one thing to defeat the devil. My friend, we saw the war we're in, the weapons we have. Why? Why are we fighting? Why are we fighting? Let me ask you this. And this is what I want to give you tonight. Why is it that when I got saved on a Tuesday night, God didn't go ahead and take me on to heaven right then? I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Why didn't God take me that night I got saved? Why has God given us all these weapons to protect ourselves and the shield of faith and the girdle of truth and the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of God? Why has God given us all these weapons for? Notice here, the work. Not only the war we're in, the weapons we have, but the work that needs to be done. Notice here, if you would, in verse 18. The Bible says, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. You know what? The Bible says we're fighting against the devil. He's given us this armor to wear so we can pray. Ain't that something? So we can just simply pray. The devil's not scared of you. The devil's not scared of me. I'll be quite honest with you tonight. The devil's not scared of your prayers. The devil's not scared of my prayers. But he is scared of the one that's listening to our prayers. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine a hungry child like Brooke or Aubrey? Aubrey's in here tonight. Can you imagine Aubrey go up to Mama and Aubrey say, Mama, I haven't ate anything all day long. Do you have something I can eat? What will Mama do? She'll say, hold on 1 minute, honey. I'll find you something to eat right now. The devil's not scared of me and what I can do. The devil's not scared of my prayers and what I can say, but the devil is scared of my God who's in heaven, who's listening to my prayers, that can answer my prayers, and my friend that wants to give me more than I can ever imagine that somebody ever wants to give. Hey, God, hand is not short that it cannot save, neither is the ear heavy that it cannot hear. The Bible says, hey, we're in a war against the devil. He says, hey, I'm going to give you a whole armor of God to wear so you can just pray to God. But notice the second thing in verse 18, praying with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. You know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be praying and watching. Praying and watching. Praying and watching. But for who? Why? Why did God say, hey, I'm going to allow the devil every day of your life to throw his firing, flaming darts at you. But I'm going to give you a shield. I'm going to give you all the armor you need to protect yourself so you can pray and so you can watch. But it's not for yourself, beloved. God has said, I'm going to give you all this for yourself. Notice what the Word of God says here in verse 18. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. For all saints. You know what God's saying tonight? God says, hey, folks, we're in a war, and we're fighting against the devil, and we're fighting against his demons. And I'm going to give you all that you need to protect yourself. He said, I'm not going to give you one thing to cover your back parts. He said, because there's no retreating, there's no running, there's no giving up and quitting in the work of God. He says, I will give you a helmet of salvation to protect your mind. I will give you a breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart. I will give you a girdle of truth to protect your lower parts. I will give you a shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. I will make your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. I will give you the sword, which is the word of God. I'm going to give you all this so you can pray and watch. Praying and watching for each other, for all the saints. You know what he says? He says, I'm going to allow you to not get hurt in this war so you can be here to help somebody else. Ain't that something? God says, I'm going to give you all that you ever need so you can help somebody else, so you can pray for somebody else, so you can be watching and encouraging somebody else. So you can be watching, seeing what's going on and praying for other people. My friend, you realize we're not in this battle by ourselves. You realize we're not in this war by ourselves. You realize all of us that's here tonight, hey, we're together. You see these young people we have here tonight, hey, they're just not my responsibility. They're your responsibility. So why should you stand and fight the good fight of faith and take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit of God and fight the devil? My friend, not just to keep the devil off your back, but to keep the devil off of them. And so, man, my friend, they can grow up and say, hey, how God can protect and how God can work and how God can move. We're supposed to take the blunt of the force. We're supposed to be in the thick of the fight, not just for ourselves, but for each other. But for each other. He says, praying and watching for the saints. That's what we should be doing. Fighting the devil, not just for ourselves, but for each other. How would it be? How would it be if you knew every day somebody was praying for you? Every day. You knew every day you woke up, somebody was praying for you. My friend, that would help you, wouldn't it? That would encourage you, wouldn't it? The Bible says that we should pray and watch for each other. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, for this time we have together. I pray you a blessed invitation time. Maybe there's some of us that needs to get back into the fight. We've been watching too long. We've been watching afar off for too long. God, the least we can do is just stand. Stand up for Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we realize the war we're in. We're not in it with each other, against each other, but we're in it against the devil. And tonight the Bible says that we have the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And we can take every piece and use it. Not only for ourselves, but for each other. I pray, Father, tonight you'll bless this invitation time. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Let's stand to our feet just for a little while. And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, the invitation starts. The altar's open tonight. Why don't right now, where you're at, won't you just take time to pray for each other? Pray for your husband tonight. Pray for your wife tonight. Just right there where you're at, just pray for your children. Right now, boys and girls, won't you pray for your Sunday school teacher? Pray for her family. Pray for his family. Pray for the children's church workers' family. Pray for the choir leader's family. Pray for the soundboard operator's family. Pray for each member's family tonight. Pray for each other. Pray for the lost. Here the Bible says you've got all the armor you need. You're able not to defeat the devil yourself, but to defeat the devil with Jesus. You've got the shield of faith. You've got the sword of the Spirit. You've got all that you need to pray. And watch out for each other. You get all you need tonight to protect yourself and to protect each other. Praying and watching for all the saints. I want y'all to pray for these campers we got. These young girls we got that's going to camp. Pray for that one special that we talked to you about. That she'll get saved and give her life to Jesus. Won't y'all pray for these young boys we got in our church tonight? Come all the way to Mullins to come to church, sit on the front row. God bless them for that. Won't you pray for them? Pray God would help them. God would strengthen them. And God would bless their families. Did you pray for your pastor tonight? And God would help him. Now God would encourage our hearts. Pray for your trustees tonight. The men that God's put in a leadership role in this church. Won't you pray for your ushers tonight? Pray for these children's mama. They call on every Sunday. I want my mama to be saved. I want my mama to be saved. I want you to do something about that. I want you to pray for her. Go visit her. Take your Bible. The preparation of the gospel of peace. And witness to her. Father, we thank you once again for loving us, for caring for us. God, I pray you take this message, God, and use it in a great way to get us ready for that judgment day. We'll have to stand before God and give an account of what we've done to this body. Lord, help us, God, to realize the war we're in is not against each other, but against the devil. But we have the weapons, Lord God. We have what we need to have the victory. And our victory is in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be praying for each other. Be watching for each other. As God's word clearly commands. Lord, I pray you'll bless each and everyone that's here.